Hey there, friends. It's the Great Debates Podcast. I'm Dan Medina. I'm here with my friend Steve Healy.
Hi, everyone.
And Dave King.
Hi, everyone.
We're going to do a sort of special edition Great Debates. We've got a huge pile of topics left over from guest submissions at our live event a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
This is great.
So it was great. In every seat, there was a card. You could fill it out, fill in a topic. We did one of them at the debate. We did the topic about whether you should order family style or not.
It was a great topic.
That was submitted by Matt, audience member Matt. He got a free t-shirt for his effort.
We apologize here because we don't know. We should have asked people to put their names on this. We don't know who submitted these topics we're about to debate, but the idea is we're just going to plow through them. We're going to hit a bunch of micro debates.
Let's hit it.
And Healy and I have not seen these. Medina has. We have no idea what we're about to debate.
I love it. This is my favorite kind of debate.
All right, let's go. Topic one.
Topics, 3-minute debates. I got your timer right here. Topic number one. Dave, you're going to take the pro on this.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Nobody needs to read.
Yeah, nobody needs to read. We live in a post-literal society. There's no actual... people can communicate in ways other than reading. You don't need to read to get ahead in any important way. There's plenty of people who have never read who are functionally literate or illiterate who are doing just fine. Nobody needs to read. You don't have to read if you don't want to. What does it actually get you?
Okay, there might be one or two pro athletes who can't read. I don't know. Oh, I don't know who you think is the most successful functional illiterate out there. Who do you think it is?
I'll think about it.
You have to read. Even right. To get on Instagram and Facebook, where you just are going to get your images, you need to read to do that. You need to fill out a form. You need to have email. Even people who are basically the kings and queens of the image era, Kim Kardashian and so forth, they're tweeting. They can read. They can communicate.
But they don't need to. It behooves them, but they don't need
it's
to.
It's very valuable for them to get that information, to look at contracts.
I think in this context, read means like consume like big paragraphs of words,
books,
not like
you
literacy.
Absolutely don't need to do that. Today's society is organized around bite-sized pieces of information, pictures, icons. You don't need to actually
spend any kind of complicated idea. You need to
Why do you need to get any kind of complicated idea?
So that you can live a richer, fuller life, be better informed.
Why
about
do you need
world,
to live
know
a richer,
how to do
fuller
things,
life?
Accomplish
you can
the
learn how to
task.
Do. Look at even a complicated task like assembling an IKEA piece of furniture.
Okay.
There's absolutely no reading that's going to go into that. You have pictures. There's many other ways to promulgate information other than words. We're so bound for some reason by reading as the one way to convey information. There's hundreds of other ways. YouTube alone, you could learn so much just by watching
how
YouTube
you
all day long.
How are you going to search for what YouTube you want? How are you going to type? How do you get the
cat
videos?
We're not saying
that
this person. You were just saying that they should reading is different than being illiterate. And you could also hire someone to do it quite easily.
How are you going to hire? How are you going to go on Craigslist and find that?
You
person?
Ask your best friend. It's not that hard to get by without actually reading.
The
and again, the issue isn't it would be tough to be illiterate. The issue is nobody needs to read.
You need to read if you want to develop your mind, if you want to grow in the expansion of ideas you understand, if you want to develop your cognitive abilities.
You don't have to.
The way that's done is through reading. It's always
a huge misconception.
For
thousands of years, humans didn't read, and they did just fine when it came to expanding their cognitive abilities.
They were dying left and right. It was a disaster.
But that is not because they couldn't read.
As soon as there was any kind of steady civilization, there had to be reading so that business could be transacted, so that people could share stories and information.
That's not true. All of those things, you're really conflating history way down here. And what actually the truth is that business, commerce, medicine, all of these things went fine for centuries. The Gutenberg Bible or the Gutenberg Press was only established in what is really relatively recent history.
No, but reading goes back to ancient Sumer. They had the Epic of Gilgamesh is written down. They would write down.
All right, let's just move right into the next topic.
Let's go.
Okay, guys, another topic for you. Time travel would be worth it.
Of course it would. I don't know what worth it is. I don't know what the cost is. Maybe that you could erase the past or something, but leaping back and forth in time is like the last frontier that man has yet to cross. It would be tremendously stimulating and interesting and informative to be able to do that. Plus, you could fix your mistakes. We could save lives. Car crashes could be undone. Murders could be undone and solved. Time travel would be a great boon to mankind. It's embarrassing that there's nobody seriously working on the problem.
Time travel is one of the few genres of art and film, which has actually gotten the overall moral of the story right. And the moral of the story is always, it is not worth it to go back or go ahead in time and mess with the quote-unquote original timeline of things. Dave, this is the moral of Back to the Future, of the butterfly effect.
This is somehow the best timeline. No, it's perfectible. Of course we can keep making little improvements, and the way we would do that is through time travel. We'd go back, twist, adjust. We don't have to accept this life that we have. Let's improve it through time travel. Yeah, sometimes we'll get it wrong. That's the process of experimentation. Then we'll time travel back and fix that.
The cost of time travel is going to be exponential when we actually get there. And I believe actually that maybe not in our lifetime, but eventually I think there's a good chance that time travel will become possible. When it is first possible, the cost of it is going to be exponential. The possible harm is going to be exponential. There's simply more bad that can come from it than good.
What? We could undo, maybe we undo World War II.
And maybe we, maybe we start World War III, Huey.
This is the
maybe
attitude.
Maybe we start
of,
World Wars III through 1,000.
This is the attitude of the coward about everything from leaving. The guy who thinks that way could never leave his house.
The coward isn't always wrong. The dove isn't always wrong. The person who decides to stay home isn't always wrong. The guy who stayed home on December 7th in Honolulu instead of going down to the fucking shipyard made the right decision.
No, man, he didn't help. He could have been there to man the guns. I bet he wished he could turn the time travel back and be like, I'd give it to those Jap son of bitches.
Whoa.
Yeah.
The issue, time travel haunts us. The key word here is worth. It's not worth it. It's not worth risking one's life. It's not worth the incredible amount of resources that it's going to cost to make time travel possible.
Who says it's going to cost a lot of resources? It's probably just some calculations in a lab.
Just some calculations in a lab.
Yeah, once we've worked out the math of it, I assume the technicalities will be pretty easy to do.
Who do you think is working out the... How do you think this
some
is possible?
Guys.
That just some guys with a pad of paper...
And gals.
Oh, how very forward-thinking of you.
Yeah. At JPL or wherever they're working on...
If you could time travel anywhere, what would you do?
You know what? I would go back to this morning. Actually, Friday morning I had McDonald's breakfast, and I always regret having McDonald's
don't
breakfast.
Don't give me the joke answer. What's the one real thing you
I
do?
I don't know. I'd love to, you know, walk around Renaissance Florence or something.
It would cost you $40 billion, and there's a 98% chance that you would die.
I'd probably... You would die, yeah.
It's not worth it.
In case you guys weren't listening, the timer's gone off. I've got another topic for you right away. This one, also listener submitted or guest at the debates, live debates submitted. Steve Healy would be a better drag queen than Dave King.
Oh, no question. I'm taller. I have, there's more of me to work with. Of course I'd be better. I'm more theatrical. I'm more upbeat. I'm more open to new experiences. I have all the qualities you need to be a good drag queen.
Your voice is too nasally. You're not more theatrical than I am. I have more theatrical experience than you do by a country mile, both on TV and on stage. I don't know why you insist that that's even possibly true. I have more hair. I have longer hair. There's more to play with. I'm more in touch with my feminine side. I do a better sing-songy voice, which is not...
I don't think that's true.
And I'll let the audience determine.
I don't think everyone would agree on that.
That's not a drag queen.
You know what I've done
that's
is I've created a character.
That's a confused person.
No, I created a character.
I'm
You're
happy
just
to
doing
a
like a pretty cliched drag queen we've seen a million times before. I'm creating Stephanie Healy, which is a rich character with a backstory, with friends, with a life.
It's so
she
lame.
Keeps
I'm
birds.
A, you know what? If I were going to be a drag queen, I would take time. I don't even want to present my drag queen persona right now because I know that it requires. I don't want to dishonor the profession of drag queens that way. I'm going to take some time to actually think about it. I'm going to consult with costume designers and character. I'm going
to
do a lot of
this
character
is so
study.
You
I'm going
to
look
academic
inward.
And boring about it.
Not at all. I'm
going to
have a fucking blast.
Experience.
This isn't about academic. This is not
I'm
an academic take at all.
Sit down there with consultants and try and figure out the best.
That's not what I'm saying.
Drag
I'm going to talk to creative types. It's going to be lively. It's going to be vibrant. The last thing it's going to be
you
is academic.
You are a creative type.
I've got the guts. I've got the balls. I've got the voice. I've got the hair. And I've got the tits to pull this off. And I would be a way better drag queen than you.
That's ridiculous.
Height
what about
has
height
nothing
alone?
To do with it. It doesn't matter. You don't need to be tall just to be a good drag queen.
Of course you do. Part of it is sort of a runway walk pizzazz. Drag queen is
if
a
anything,
showmanship
I'm
role.
More believable as a woman because I'd be shorter than you.
Being a better woman, that's a different argument. Being a better drag queen, I think there's no question. I have the positivity.
I'm a better actor than you.
That's
there,
not
I'm
true.
I'm a way better actor than
that's
you.
That's ridiculous.
And there's a reason that people hire me to be an actor more than they hire you.
No,
you hired me to be an actor in a movie you made because you knew that I was better better than you. Did I do a great job? Not necessarily, but I've gotten better as an actor since then.
And we've both been hired as actors by the bosses at TV shows we've worked on. That's the equivalent of our acting experience.
You're not a better actor. I've been called in by people on shows that I did not work on to see if I was available. There were certain times when I wanted the gig, but I wasn't available to do it, and I wish I had. I have to say, more than any other debate, I wish you had taken that I had taken the pro here, because I really feel weird about arguing for my acting prowess, but I do believe that I'm way better than you as an actor, as a performer.
Do you seriously?
Let's step out of the debate for a minute. Yeah, I think you're a better actor than me. Yeah, I've seen you act, and I think you're like a little tight and stuff. And I think that when you're on stage, your voice doesn't carry nearly as well as mine would.
Tight.
I think that you're not as you do not have as good of a singing voice. And I think
I will admit I'm a bad singer.
Yeah.
Good one. Okay, I've got another topic for
you. What are we up to, number three or four? Whatever, let's just go. I don't care. I'm wound up.
Here's what I want to say about this topic. I'm going to read it out.
Uh-huh.
We're going to sit there in silence for somewhere between 3 and 5 seconds and decide who takes the pro, okay?
Okay.
Topic is, it's not that bad to be racist. It's not that bad.
Oh, I would love to take the pro.
To be racist. Go for it.
Okay. It's not that bad to be racist. I myself am a little bit racist. It's not that bad because it's simply a product of the world we live in. I've taken the test online where you match up facial faces of different races with different words that have qualities of good or bad. And then it's basically a way, it's a test you could take to determine just how unconsciously racist you are. I happen to be a little bit racist. There's different ways of, it goes from, I forget exactly what the terms are, a little bit mildly, very racist. I'm a little racist. I kind of assumed that that would be the case. It doesn't make me a bad person. What is the phrasing? It's not that bad.
It's not that bad to be a little racist
simply because to be otherwise would be to deny yourself as an American in the 21st century. That's just simply who we are as people. There's an evolutionary reason why we're a little bit racist naturally. It's because we fear things that aren't exactly like us. It's not that bad.
You added the word little racist. It's not that bad to be racist is the topic. Yeah, everybody is a little bit racist, and that's a bias you have to constantly work to improve in yourself. And we as a society have to constantly been working to improve, because allowing race to cloud our judgment is the source of probably most of the ills and crimes of history. And when we look back on our history, what we're most embarrassed about is being racist. So yeah, it's terrible to be racist. We should constantly be working to eliminate those biases in ourselves so that we can live in the world that we all know in our hearts is better and more blissful, a world free of racial categorization and racial judgment and racial persecution.
I think you're wrong on a historical level. I don't think that's the reason why most atrocities have happened in history. And the reason that it's not that bad, the thing that you're missing is that to do otherwise would be to be dishonest. We do happen to live in a world where there are racial categorizations. Would it be better if we were all colorblind? Yes, of course, but we're not.
There is a way to be honest with yourself and say, I have these racial biases, but I'm going to work to eliminate them in myself and to fight them in society.
Yeah, that's fine. But that doesn't mean you're not racist.
Being dishonest, that's different than being racist.
That is what I am, Healy. I am a little bit racist. I am racist. A little bit racist is racist. I'm racist, and I'm working to not be.
Good.
And
why are you working so hard to not be? Because it's better for the world and for yourself. First of all, you're going to close yourself off to incredible experiences.
Yeah, well, I agree with you. But the idea that it's bad to be racist implies that it doesn't mean that you can't be working towards not being racist just because you are racist. I mean, it's for the same reason that it's like not that bad to be a wonderful. It's not that bad to be a bad guitar player. That doesn't mean that you couldn't be working to become a great guitar player, even if you're a bad guitar player.
It's significantly worse if we're talking about you and I are in our...
But the topic isn't, it's not that bad to be racist and also insist on not becoming less racist. Let's move on. Let's just keep going.
Another topic for you. The future is going to be great.
Well, obviously. I mean, everything keeps getting better and better. We're improving technology. We're improving medicine. We're living longer, we're improving culture, we're improving access to food, we're improving access to resources. Yeah, of course there are going to be challenges, there have always been challenges, but gradually the world is getting better and better and better. The future holds the promise of being incredibly great. We're building on all the discoveries we made in the past, all the improvements we've made to human society, human technology, human civilization. We'll continue to build on those, and the future will continue to grow and be wonderful and shower blessings on us.
Everyone's expecting me to make the argument that the future's going to be terrible and that the world's going to come tumbling down and that the digital sort of, you know, immediate gratification world we live in is only going to be amplified and things are going to get worse. That's not the case I'm going to make. Here's what I'm going to say. The future's going to be fine. The future's going to be basically the same as the present. It's going to be basically the same as the past. One of the most defining things about the last 20 to 25 years of American history is its sameness. Styles have remained the same. Music, the general that, aesthetic of the world so has become
25
monotonous.
Years ago, I did not have email. 25 years ago, I didn't have a phone.
Doesn't
no
mean
one
that
I knew had a cell phone. The world has changed dramatically just
certainly,
right there.
Of course, there will be
the
technical
food
advances.
Has gotten, in that the last 25 years, food in America has gotten exponentially better. We haven't even really dug in and done serious work on improving nutrition, because when we start cracking that code and breaking out of these ancient ideas we're still living with the resources and the agricultural developments we have now, we should all be feeling like $1 million and living to 200. And we will in the future.
And instead, what has happened? What does the trend show us? The trend shows us that people are getting fatter, they're getting more disease, they're eating worse food, they don't have access to nearly as much good food. The trends show us
That's
just the opposite.
Not
if you're going
to. People do have more access to more food. Yeah, maybe Americans are getting fatter.
Where you live, they
more
do.
Junk.
Most Americans don't have access to good
no,
food.
No, hunger.
Good affordable
world has
food.
Declined. People are still hungry, but people aren't starving like they used to. There used to be famines that would kill millions of people.
If your argument is that famine isn't going to happen as much, that makes the future great, then I think you're off base.
It
because
makes it a significant improvement over a world where famine is a constant danger.
Well, that doesn't make it great. That makes it like not awful. And my point is that the future is only
we're
going to be
in the present. We're already at the not. We're already close to not awful. The future is going to be the next step. Great.
You're saying we're presently... That's such a huge leap from not awful to great. You think it's going to happen in... I mean, what are we talking... What
the
are we saying the
future
is? The
future could be 100,000 years.
Well, in 100,000... Okay, well then, in that case, again, in the future, the sun is going to blow up and we're all going to die and that's going to be terrible.
That won't happen for millions of years.
Well, you can't say 100,000 years is the future, but a million years isn't. You can't say that the future is 100,000 years, but not a million years.
By
that's
the time
not how
the
works.
Sun blows up, we will be floating consciousness quanta in some other galaxy.
I got one more for you guys.
All right, let's do this.
And here it is. The drought is pretty serious. The drought is pretty serious.
I think Dave has to take the pro.
No, I think you do.
Oh, okay, the drought is terrible. Yeah, it's really bad. California has 5% of the snowpack it had 2 years ago. That's the ground of California is sinking. That's because we're sucking up the groundwater, which does not come back. It took hundreds of thousands of years to get that groundwater, and we're drinking it, and it is gone. The drought is devastating. California is doomed. We do not have enough water to sustain our lifestyle. It's not going to change. The environment is not getting any wetter. It's not getting any cooler. We fucked ourselves. We are in big shit.
I believe you're talking about two different things. The drought is the lack of natural water that this area receives. What you are talking about is the human tapping into the groundwater of California.
Those things are very closely related.
I'm not saying they're
Dave.
Not closely yeah. related, but the drought itself is, I think, just the very
the
fact that you mentioned the humans tapping into the groundwater illustrates just how much the drought is not that serious. It's what we're doing that's serious.
No,
the
Dave,
lack of rainwater
you know
is not that
ridiculous.
Problematic.
The drought,
I'm not
the lack
being ridiculous
of rainwater,
at all.
And more importantly, snowfall, which is what feeds our rivers and stuff, is what causes farmers who don't have any river water or rainfall to tap into the groundwater, which is destroying the state. That's part of the problem of the drought.
But just because it's what causes it doesn't mean that it's more what they're doing. You can't say that we're tapping into groundwater simply because of a drought. We're tapping into groundwater because we're not letting these farmers, like, we feel bad for these farmers who's basically should go out of business if they don't have access to the water. We should have stronger regulations about how deep into the ground you can dig for water.
Totally
plain
agree.
And simple. Well, that has nothing to do with the drought.
No, it has a ton to do with the drought.
But the drought itself isn't that serious. It's it's what people are doing because of the drought.
The drought
serious.
Is incredible. How can you not think the drought is serious? The only fact
because I was assigned this side by an arbitrary topic.
It's five. We've gone from 100 units of water every winter to five. We're not getting any water.
And so what? And what has happened because of it? Almonds are a little more expensive.
No, we sunk the state, and we are continuing to sink the state.
And again, I ask, so what? The state is getting a little bit lower in the ground.
The consequences haven't been felt yet, but the end result is going to be the destruction of the economy of California, the end of fresh fruits and vegetables the way we know it. It's going to be devastating, not just to us, but to the whole world.
We will take the proper actions we need to before the whole
economy... Are you kidding? When have we ever taken the proper actions? We should have taken these proper actions 100 years ago. That's why we're having this disaster. No,
I agree with you, but it's not because of the drought. It's because of what people are doing. It's because of
our... Dave, this is truly beneath you, to be splitting hairs in this way. The drought and the consequences of the drought.
It's not a consequence of the drought. It's a separate action that people are doing. The drought refers to the actual earth science cycle of the state of California.
Yes, and that is very bad. And the way that humans are responding, part of that phenomenon...
I pressed stop on the timer too soon. One last debate.
Oh, bonus debate.
Ultra bonus lightning debate. 2 minute debate. Okay, are you ready?
Yes.
The topic, winning a debate is better than sex.
Which is the pro?
You.
Okay, yeah. Winning a debate is great. Sex is pretty fun, but you can have it all the time. How often do you get a friend together for a staged debate? Once every 2 weeks at best? And to win, to get in the intellectual wrestling ring, grapple with your opponent, and wrench him to the ground, as I've done so many times, and leave him hobbled there, and walk away victorious? Yeah, that's an adrenaline rush that is better than sex.
There's no... I mean, come on, man. The feeling of... we're all men here. The feeling of ejaculating, it produces so much more euphoria, serotonin, good feelings in general, adrenaline as well, than winning a debate.
You feel kind of bad about it afterwards. Now,
what's going on in your world that you feel bad about having sex? That's something we should explore.
You put that down in your notebook and you live with that for the rest of your life.
You could keep a journal of sex. And I think we really should revisit, why do you feel bad afterwards after you've had sex? Why is there guilt involved in, or any bad feelings?
That's my problem.
Yeah, I'd say it is.
Yeah,
I'd say it is. I'll say this. I feel bad after winning a debate.
No, you don't. Why? You won. If you win, which because you've done, maybe I can think
more
of
than
two
half
or
of
three
the time.
Times.
More than half of the times.
Yeah, maybe two or three times you've won a debate. So I imagine it would feel even better for you because it's so rare.
Here's some other reasons why sex is better than debate. Sex can last pretty much as long as you want to. A debate can really only last so long.
But the winning of the debate lasts forever. You always have won it.
That's not always true. Sometimes, because you might meet the same person next week and he might come back and say, I looked it up and you were wrong. And
debate's
that's happened.
Over. The alarm went off. The Cosmico went off.
We're not talking about the topic didn't say a great debate, which is what we do. It said a debate in general.
Okay.
So, again, sex can last longer than the debate.
Which do you think better? Did it feel better, Lloyd Benson, the last time he had sex with Mrs. Benson, or when he looked at Dan Quayle and said, I've served a Jack Kennedy, I knew Jack Kennedy, Senator, you know Jack Kennedy?
I think it felt better the last time he had sex.
Wow. That was an expert level move there. Clock management and like a true zinger.
It was a buzzer beater. It was nice.
Hey guys, that was super fun.
That was called Fast and the Furious.
I liked it. Dave?
I had fun. I don't think it was called Fast and the Furious.
We'll see.
Listeners are invited to submit ideas for names for that are better than Fast and the Furious. Hey, everybody out there, you've been listening to the Great Debates podcast, and we'd like it if you reached out to us and told us what you liked and what you didn't like, submit topics, invite us to debate in your town.
A lot of people have told me they listen to the Great Debates, and part of the thrill or the feeling they get from it is like, you should say this, and then they're in their car, and they're halfway screaming at the radio. So when that happens, remember it, email it, tweet it into us. You should have said this, you should have said that. You missed this point, can't believe you let them off the hook on that. We'd love to hear that. Come on in, be part of the Great Debates community experience by emailing greatdebate69@gmail.com or greatdebate69 Twitter.
Guys, we'll see you next week on the Great Debates.
Get a fast car. I want a ticket to anywhere. Maybe we make a deal. Maybe together we can get somewhere. Any place is better.
starting from zero, got nothing to lose. Maybe we'll make something. Me, myself, I got nothing to prove.